Okay, I was not informed that this was on the record. That changes things a little bit. Well, I thought I'd get the really important stuff out of the way right at the beginning and just clear things up. I am a Pittsburgh Everything fan. Okay, there were a lot of applauses, which I really like. But there was one guy in the back who's going like this. So, oh, we'll have to work on that. Like I said, we got the important stuff taken care of now. Now we can move along. Just want to thank you guys for an opportunity to come and worship with you this morning. It's just a blessing. And getting back up here, it's kind of been a while. You know, not a real long time, but you know, we really enjoy ministry and having an opportunity to serve God and minister to His people. So to be able to come back here this weekend and have an opportunity to do that has been a blessing. So thank you. I am actually going to pass it over and let Amanda get us started as far as sharing our stories.
Good morning. This is kind of my comfort zone, but here we go. I was born, I guess we'll do this. I was born in New Jersey. And when I was young, my parents heard the call to be overseas missionaries. So I grew up in Costa Rica for a year and 8 years of my life growing up in Venezuela. And then we came back to the States when I was 16 to New Jersey. And from there, I moved to college, Nyack College in New York, which is where we met. fell in love, got married. And we've had ministries in central Pennsylvania and northern New Jersey, and we're seeking where God has us now. My journey with Christ through everywhere I've been, one disclaimer, I am pregnant. So emotions, and I'm already an emotional person. So yeah, so it's a little, just to be warned. I accepted Christ when I was very young, praying when I was 5 years old for Jesus to come into my heart, forgive my sins. And that was just the very beginning to the rest of my life. And seeing where I grew up and how my parents served God 100% with their whole heart, it really showed me Christ's love. And that made such an impression on me of understanding the way that Jesus loves us and wants us to serve one another. I had that awesome example in my home. So growing up in Venezuela became home and became everything. And when I was 16, we had been told that the school had to close that we were at, and had to come back to the United States, which was very hard. We talked this morning about feeling like you don't belong in the Sunday school with the youth, and I definitely felt like I did not belong. I felt like I look like I'm American, but I have no idea what you're saying to me right now. So that was a very difficult time for me, but it really developed my relationship with God because He was all I had to cling to at that time. And through that, He showed me that He is faithful and that even though I can't see what He's doing, He is working and I need to trust Him. So that was the beginning of that. And went to Nyack College and I didn't want to go to Nyack. You might have heard that before. I ended up there and God really, really took a hold of me. And my relationship with Him became so personal and so deep that that it just became so real, and it became something that I wanted with all of my heart. And so that was really a turning point in my life to pursue Him for myself, for my relationship with him, not just the example that my parents set. Through meeting Steve and when we got together, I knew that I had wanted a man that I would marry to be someone who would challenge me in my faith, someone who would lead me. I'm good. And our family. And God really showed me that in our relationship as we dated and were engaged for a year. And doing ministry together is amazing. To see how God brought us together. I can do this. breathe. I love being by his side. And I just love to see how he loves God. And together we just love the kids. We love the people. And I know for me, I look for relationships that are authentic, that are deep, that are true, because life is hard and we need each other to get through it. To be sure that we're following Christ, we need one another. And he's really shown me that. Sorry about that. And we do have a son. His name is Eden, and we have another boy on the way. And motherhood, oh man, that is an adventure to say the least. It's been amazing to understand the way it's just changed even more my understanding for Christ's love for me as his daughter and what that means, and as him to be my father and care for me the way I care for Eden. It's intense, but it's amazing. And I'm just so thankful for how he's changing me and all the time. And I try to be moldable when I'm not being stubborn. So it's really, I'm just so grateful for his persistence and his faithfulness. I did want to share a verse that God's been using a lot in my life. And it's interesting that we sang that song, God My Rock, because this is Isaiah 26:3-4. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal.
I am not overly emotional. Until she starts crying. So I guess that's a lot. since we started with the geographical story, we'll go that way too. Mine's simple. I grew up in Pittsburgh. If you're familiar with the area, I grew up in a town called Plum, which is near kind of Monroeville or Oakmont, right by the Oakmont Country Club, if that kind of narrows things down as to where I grew up there. I was born there. I lived there till I went to college. I lived there after I went to college, and I live there now. My geographical story is much less complicated. But to kind of go back a little bit, my faith story kind of stems from my parents' faith story. And my dad grew up Methodist, and my mom grew up Lutheran. And they were led to the Lord by a police officer, not because they were arrested. You can do a background check and verify that if you want to. He was their neighbor, and he started leading a Bible study. And they were in their late teens, and he led them to the Lord. And when they got married, they found an Alliance Church in Glenshaw, Pennsylvania, called Glenshaw Chapel. And we were going there when I was born. And then about when I was three, our family moved over to Dorseyville Alliance Church, don't know if any of you are familiar with that or not, but that's actually where we're attending right now. My parents have been there ever since 1986. So we've been a part of that church for a very long time. And so I have Alliance in my blood. I've been a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, I guess you could say, since before I was born. And now I getting an opportunity to serve in the Alliance. We just have grown even more so to love the way that this denomination does ministry globally and just here in the States, and the missions-mindedness of it, particularly with the missions background. And so I really enjoyed growing up in that church. I had a lot of really close friends and some really good pastors who worked with me along the way. I, too, accepted Christ when I was very little, one of those, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years old. Some people can remember that prayer. So I'm not one of those people. So for me, what I see as the time when I really got it, that it all started to make sense to me, was when I was 12. I was at camp. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Beulah Beach in Ohio. That's where I grew up going to camp. And kind of funny that one of my friends is now the camp director there. It's kind of weird. But I was at Beulah Beach. I don't remember who the speaker was. I have a vague picture of what he looked like in my mind. We were in the tabernacle, which is a strange building. It's kind of outside, like there's no like external walls or anything, but it's got like, you know, like the peaked roof. It's got concrete floor, pews. And I just remember being in there and he was talking about having no fear but God. And not a fear in being afraid of him, but a fear of reverence and respect for him. And he did an altar call at the end. And I went forward, and they passed out rocks to everybody that had painted on it, no fear. I remember at the time, that was like a big, like camp, you know, like advertising scheme. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. But so that was kind of like the thing, was like no fear was on like all kinds of stuff. But he kind of put a new meaning behind it. And I remember that being the time when I fully understood what God did for me, what he was doing in my life, what he wanted to do through me. And I can say, you know, at that time, that was about the age where I got into youth group. And, man, I loved youth group. And you know, I started going the day that I was allowed to. I wanted to go before that, but I wasn't allowed. They were going to a life conference. I was only in fifth grade. I wanted to go, not allowed. And I wanted to be there every opportunity that I had. I had a lot of really, really good Christian friends in youth group. And it really helped to have that place to go to reconnect. Now, I did go to a Christian school. So there was also, you know, the Bible education and some Christian friends there. But youth group, and I did Bible quizzing from 4th grade to 12th grade. And man, the opportunities, the way that God has used all the scripture that I was able to memorize in those lots of years, whatever the amount was. I think all in all, through those, I think it was 9 years, if I did the math correctly. It was like 13 or 14 books of the New Testament that I had an opportunity to study. And there's a lot of times, and if we get an opportunity to be around each other a bunch more, you'll notice that there's a lot of times where I say, there's a verse somewhere that says, and I can tell you what it says, but there's a whole bunch rattling around up there, and I don't always remember where it is. Sometimes I can nail down the book, but there's a lot of, you know, so there's just a lot rattling around up there. You'll notice that I say that a lot. But I do believe that Bible quizzing and my tight connection with youth group have a lot to do with why I'm standing here today. My youth pastor, who's still in ministry in this district, he's a children's pastor in Marysville, really had an impact on me. He really poured into me. He would take me out to lunch. He would come over to my house and do Bible studies with me. And we had lots of things in common, and he really just poured into my life. And that made me realize that God was showing me what he wanted me to do. That he wanted me to have the same opportunity with other teens, to pour into them. And to have an opportunity to help show teens the way to Christ. And to help them build a foundation. He helped me find my faith. You know, it wasn't just my parents' faith, which is what's so easy to have. I go to church because my parents go to church. I'm a Christian because that's what my parents do. And I never had this thought before, but while we were singing and Dave was praying, kind of gave me this mental picture. This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about standing firm. And how if you stand on one foot, you're a little wobbly and you can get pushed over. But if you're standing firm on 2 feet, your own 2 feet, with God's strength, those things that come up in your life can't push you over as easy. And he was praying, Dave was praying about having that foundation on the rock, not on the sand. And that's what we like to do in ministry, is help not just the teens, not just the young adults, but as best we can, everybody that we come in contact with, to find that foundation. I just kind of got this mental picture while he was praying, because we had that standing thing from this morning, and he's talking about the firm foundation. And I got this idea of, if we have somebody else's faith, you know, maybe it's, you know, I'm only a Christian because she's a Christian, or, you know, I'm a Christian because my parents are a Christian. You know, it's not your own faith. Then maybe you're standing on 2 feet, but you're standing on somebody else's shoulders who's standing on the foundation. And maybe that person is standing very firmly on the foundation, and they're not going to fall over. But if you're not standing on the foundation yourself, if you're just standing on them, and you can imagine somebody standing on my shoulders would probably more than likely fall off. Even if I'm holding on to them and trying to keep them there, their balance is going to fall. And so it's about getting your own firm foundation. Whether you've grown up in the church, you're a new Christian, or you're not a Christian. And so that's one of our passions in ministry. And that's what I believe that my youth pastor helped me find. And that's what God has called us to help other people find. And I knew, going back to eighth grade, that youth ministry was what God wanted me to do. It started at Life, 1998. I was just finishing the eighth grade, and we were out in Salt Lake City. And it kind of started because I'm looking around and I'm going, man, this is pretty awesome. Doing this for a living would be fun. I could keep coming back to these. but God really planted that seed of a call to ministry way back when I was only like 14. He knew his plan for me even before I was born, but that's when he started to show it to me. Then, like Amanda, I ended up at NIAC, even though it was the last place I wanted to go to. My dad kept pushing it. He kept saying, just apply. You can go to NIAC. No, I'm not going to NIAC. Why? I don't know. I'm not going to NIAC. So my dad took it upon himself to email, his name's Kent Julian. At the time, he was the national youth director for the denomination. And asked him where a good place to go to college is if you want to be in youth ministry. And he came back to him and he said, go to NIAC. Thanks, Dad. So I applied, I got in, and I took my enrollment check with me when I went to visit the college. I knew before I got there that it was where I was supposed to be, even though it was the last place I wanted to be. That seems that has been a little bit of a theme now and then. But after we graduated, or after I graduated, because I graduated a year ahead of her, I spent 8 months not in ministry. And a lot of my friends were getting jobs in ministry, and I was getting very frustrated. And in those times, when you're fresh out of college, you're only 22, you start to think, man, did I pick the right field? Man, is this really what I was supposed to do? It just doesn't seem to be panning out. You know, we had a lot of interviews, just didn't work out. Things started falling through, and a lot of my friends are getting other jobs. And I was just getting frustrated. And we were going through an interview process with Lewisburg Alliance Church, which, to give you a spoiler, we ended up there. But there was a night, it was actually kind of weird, it was on Halloween. They were supposed to be having the board meeting to decide if they were going to bring me up for a more formal interview. And during the time that they were meeting, which they actually ended up not meeting that night because too many people on the board were sick, but we didn't know that. My parents and I, she was still up at school. My parents and I just started just having a time of prayer. And we put on worship music in the background and we just started praying. And by the time we were done, I ended up on my knees, face on the ground, just praying and crying. And he taught me in that time that it's about his timing. I was in a rush. I wanted to get out there and do ministry, but he had a different plan. He knew where I was supposed to be. He knew when I was supposed to get there and how it was supposed to happen. And I just needed to trust him and know that it was in his hands. Then I got a call that they didn't meet. And they met later, and we ended up ministering there for about 4 years. And we were really blessed to have an opportunity to work with this one couple, Kathy and Glenn Smith. Probably don't know them. They live in Lewisburg, which is, well, sort of in Lewisburg. But at the time, we were fresh out of college, not a whole lot of ministry experience other than volunteering at the church we went to in college. And they'd been doing it for about 35 years. And they just kind of came alongside us, walked with us, let us make mistakes, but helped us walk through it. And man, was it a blessing to have somebody who knew what they were doing. Because as much training as I had in college, it doesn't cut it. You got to rely on God and on his leading and in his spirit. And when we finished our ministry there, when we felt that God was showing us it was time to go somewhere else, I sent my resume to 11 different districts in the Christian Missionary Alliance. The one district I didn't send it to was the Metropolitan District because I didn't want to go to New Jersey. And I told God as much earlier in life on a long trip. We got lost and spent about 6 hours wandering around New Jersey. And I said, I hate New Jersey. I'm never living here. And I said, but I mean that in the nicest way. I looked at it, and, well, he led us to New Jersey. And it was hard for us to accept that at first. But we went, and it was a blessing of a ministry. And we developed very close relationships and just had an opportunity to really connect with our community, opportunities to serve on township committees and things. It was unbelievable the way that God was working. But then he said, guess what? It's time for you to be done here. Okay. Now where? I'm not ready to tell you yet. Just go back to Pittsburgh and live with your parents again. So that's what we're doing right now. And he's really been using the time to teach us stuff, to show us how important family time is. These last 5 months, as I shared with a bunch of you last night, have been very difficult. 3 days after we moved to Pittsburgh, my grandfather died on Christmas Day. And we knew then why God put us back in Pittsburgh. Because if we hadn't been there, it would have been really difficult. Everybody needed to be together. Our family needed that time. And God knew that. And so he's been working in and through different family dynamics to teach us all kinds of stuff. He's been using my current job as a warehouse guy at a plumbing supply company. When I signed up for youth ministry, didn't know that's where I was going to end up. But it's been a blessing because, and I didn't even realize this until last week when I got back together with my youth pastor for lunch. And he said, man, it's really good to get opportunities like this as a youth pastor. Because you can see through working a full-time job, non-ministry, what it's like for the people who volunteer in your ministries. And you can get a heart to understand what it's like to work full-time and give up extra time to volunteer and serve in the church. And through that, you know, I just have to say thank you. I haven't had an opportunity to get to know too many of you yet. I haven't had an opportunity to work too long and hard with you guys. But thank you for what you do. For giving up that extra time. Time you could be watching a game or sleeping or playing with the kids, or you're giving up extra time for God's work. And he's just really giving me an appreciation for that through this time and the job that I've been doing. And since we came up here 2 weeks ago and we met with the leadership team, man, we've been hankering to get back into ministry. Didn't really, you know, it's starting to sink in that was the norm, you know, working in the plumbing supplies and getting up at 5:40 and getting home at like almost 6 o'clock, driving an hour to and from work. It just seemed like, all right, this is normal. This is life now. But when we got an opportunity to come up here 2 weeks ago, it was like, you got to get back in. And we miss it. So thanks for the opportunity this weekend to get a little taste of ministry again and get an opportunity to do that. So, thank you.